You're back on the fringe with your interdimensional modern heretic. And tonight's episode is very special. This is sort of my favorite time of year. And given that I live on an island, I wanted to get into my island's folklore. So sit back, relax, get a snack, get your favorite brew, and try not to get too scared as we travel into the world of Jamaican folklore.
Halloween, All Hallows Eve, or Samhain in the Celtic tongue. Samhain is spelled Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N. And its impact globally over the centuries. Based on my research, there is a link between different civilizations celebrating similar festivals or holidays around the exact same time of the year. And Samhain is no different. Also, what this led me to is the realization that there seems to be a link between not just all of the civilizations or most civilizations that we know of overall, but there are links between the Celts and ancient Egypt as well. And there are other connections to it, but I found this connection to be really intriguing because it's not something that I was ever taught. Essentially, Samhain, and this time of year, is generally considered to be a time when the veil between this world and the next is the thinnest. Now, when it comes to Samhain, it was believed that the spirit world could interact with the physical world far more easily. And at least for the Celts, it was believed that around this time of year, the Fae could come through to our world. They used to be more involved in our world, and due to, I guess, maybe some changes between the evolution of, I guess, the human mind and how we interact with the spiritual world, they ended up going more into other realms. And some can be hostile, some can be nice, but overall, I don't recommend trying to contact any. Essentially, there was a fear that Fae would steal children and replace them with one of their own shape-shifting beings that could be Fae or considered a demon. They would take the human child into their world. And oftentimes, the Fae child would pass away because it wouldn't be able to survive, because the parents would treat it as a human child and it probably maybe needed sustenance that was not available to it in this realm. So oftentimes it was said, based on what I've read, that Fae children would pass away, or the parents would eventually find out what the capabilities of the child were and be absolutely horrified, especially male children. So what the Celts started doing was to dress their children as what they would consider to be different creatures and fays and spirits to sort of confuse the fays so they wouldn't be tempted to take the human children away. Hence the dressing up on Halloween night. It is to confuse the spirits, to discombobulate them. Some people would leave out treats for the spirits to appease them. Sometimes travelers passing through different villages would perform tricks in exchange for treats. And sometimes boys would dress up as girls, girls would dress up as boys, all for the purpose of confusing the spirits, apparently. So this is also how trick-or-treat ties in. And as you know, and this would also be the time period when spiritual people would have the strongest connection to their magic. Now, when it came to the seasons, it is believed that the Stonehenge in Britain, and there isn't just one, there are several all over the planet. But it seems to be that each one was some sort of observatory for the stars and the planets, or some type of clock in order to observe nature and the seasons and to know when to harvest, when to plant, etc. And what's interesting is that in Egypt, the pyramids, if you don't know, fun fact, the pyramids of Giza are perfectly aligned with Orion's belt. Orion's belt consists of three stars.
So if you're going to be talking about Jamaican folklore, you can't talk about Jamaican folklore without the Dopey. Dopey is a word of African origin commonly used in various Caribbean islands, including Barbados and Jamaica, meaning ghost or spirit. The word is sometimes spelled Duffy, D-U-F-F-Y. It is both singular and plural. Much of Caribbean folklore revolves around Dopey. Dopey are generally regarded as malevolent spirits. They are said to mostly come out and haunt people at night, and people from around the islands claim to have seen them. In many of the islands of the Lesser Antilles, Dopey are known as Jumbies. Barbados also uses the word Dopey, and it holds the same meanings as it does in Jamaica. Originating in Central Africa, the Dopey is part of Bantu folklore. A Dopey can be either the manifestation in human or animal form of the soul of a dead person or a malevolent supernatural being. But the word Dopey more likely originates from the Ga language, as most of the African folklore and culture in Jamaica comes from the Ashanti people, a similar Kwa-speaking people also from Ghana. In the Ga language of Ghana, Adope, A-D-O-P-E, literally means dwarf, but in Ghanaian, folklore spirits are dwarves, or the special Akan day called Dapa, which takes 9 days after the first Monday of the Akan month called Fuwodwo. On Dapa, that is, the ancestral spirits return to its homeland, a shared belief in Jamaica. The word Dapa could have vowel changes and become the present day Dopey to mean ancestral spirit. In Obia, a person is believed to possess two souls, a good soul and an earthly soul. In death, the good soul goes to heaven to be judged by God, while the earthly spirit remains for 3 days in the coffin with the body, where it may escape if proper precautions are not taken and appear as a Dopey. The term Dopey has been featured in various musical works from the Caribbean. According to Lee Scratch Perry, after Bob Marley wrote the song My Cup, Marley was complaining to Lee that he was too successful and was being plagued by hangers-on and leeches, referring to them as Dopey in the context of human vampires or scroungers. Lee apparently consoled him by saying, "Look, we'll sort this out. We are Dopey conquerors." Marley then wrote Dopey Conqueror. The term Dopey is also referenced in the song Mr. Brown. Several other Jamaican artists have recorded songs that refer to Dopey, including Bonnie Wailer's Dopey Gun and Ernie Smith's Dopey Gunman. Yellowman released an album titled Dopey or Gunman. There was also a drum and bass single written by the duo Chase and Status called Dopey Man, featuring Capleton's vocals from his track Slew Them. In 2008, Jamaican dancehall artist DeMarco had a hit with dancehall phenomenon Vybz Kartel released touch a button, no? Which mentions a Duppy in the interlude. Collie Budd sings about Duppy in his song, Sensimilia, as well as other artists throughout the years. In Nicolas da Silva's short story and comic book story arc, Dread and Alive, Duppy Conqueror, 7-year-old Drew McIntosh is awakened by a late-night call to his famous father, local legend and Duppy Conqueror Philip McIntosh. A young girl named Brandy Savage is being held captive by a malicious Duppy, and Drew's father is the only one who can save her. A High Wind in Jamaica, 1929, by Richard Hughes, makes several references to Duppy. In Avram Davidson's 1961 short story, Where Do You Live, Queen Esther? An old Caribbean domestic worker in New York, the Queen Esther of the title, keeps a tiny dried frog tied with a scarlet ribbon in a cigarette tin. The frog turns out to be a Duppy, which comes to terrifying life when an unpleasant employer takes the liberty of looking uninvited through the servant's possessions. The James Bond novel, Live and Let Die, by Ian Fleming, mentions Duppy and the rolling calf in the chapter The Undertaker's Wind. The protagonist of the novel Brown Girl in the Ring by Nalo Hopkinson is an Obeah woman in training, learning from her grandmother. She uses her abilities to defeat an evil Obeah man and his Duppy. In another Nalo Hopkinson book, Midnight Robber, Duppy Dead Town is where people go when life boofed them, when hope left them, and happiness caught she eye upon them and strut away. Translation essentially, Duppy Dead Town is where people go when life has been quite rough with them and has left them to fend for themselves essentially. The term Duppy is used in Neil Gaiman's 2005 novel Anansi Boys, in which it appears to refer to any ghost. In Sherwood Smith's novel Revenant Eve, the main character is sent back in time as a Duppy, here regarded as a sort of guardian spirit to a distant ancestor. In the media, the term Duppy was featured on the television show Amazing Stories in episode 13 entitled The Sitter. In this episode, a Duppy is discussed between a Caribbean woman and the two boys she's been hired to babysit. She tells the boys about the Duppy in order to prevent them from acting mischievously. In the television film The Stone Tape, the interior of a room is an old mansion, inexplicably records the final moments of people who died there, replaying their last sounds and images and leading many people to believe it haunted. During World War II, the house is used by American soldiers. Years later, a woman who lived there recalls being told by an African-American soldier that the house had Duppy. Not having heard the term before or knowing what it meant, she thinks he might have said guppies. In the sci-fi television series Lost Girl, the episode Adventures in Babysitting features a babysitter named Lisa, who is a Duppy. She is a ghost that can only be invoked every 100 years using a special necklace. When invoked, she is essentially an empty vessel, alive only through her invoker's life energy to carry out murders for them. I have some friends who've had some unexplained experiences with what you would call Duppy. And we even had a news program featuring a little boy who was allegedly being haunted by, according to the little boy, a dead friend. The news crew went down to see him. I don't remember which part of the island it was, And the little boy was essentially sitting in a chair. They had him doing different things to prove to the news crew that these events were actually happening. According to his grandmother, she claimed that this spirit was throwing things like pebbles at her head and the figurines in her house and things like that. And she said that this spirit was constantly trying to drag the boy away, constantly trying to drag him into corners of the house, and seemed to never leave him alone. And the little boy seemed uneasy, but also like he'd gotten used to it. And he is seen sitting on a plastic chair, a plastic white chair, and this is taking place at night. So the light from the camera is being shone on the boy, and you can see he's sitting directly in front of, I guess what you'd call his front door. So behind him is slight darkness, but you can see that, you know, a little bit of the interior of the house. And he sits for a few seconds, and soon after, all of a sudden, something starts to drag the chair, and, you know, I'm not sure if it was his mother, but the woman grabbed him off the chair immediately. You know, she was close to him the entire time to make sure that nothing happened to him. And there was another scene where the little boy is leaned up against a wall outside, and people in the community have now gathered around to see, you know, what's going on. I'm thinking some of them probably knew already beforehand, as in before the crew got there, that the little boy was dealing with this. What grabbed me, pun intended, was all of a sudden the little boy stands, he's in the middle of the crowd essentially, but his back is against the wall, and there's some space between him and the people. And the camera crew is just filming him, and I'm thinking it was his mother, was standing close by to make sure nothing happened. All of a sudden, the little boy's left leg goes out to the side, and his arms kind of flail forward in front of him, and he looks as though he's being dragged away, and the mother grabs him. The thing, though, is we're looking to see if there's any strings or any sort of foul play that might be considered a trick. I didn't see that. However, what I did see, I saw his pants leg bunch around his ankles as if something had grabbed him there. Whatever took a hold of him, I saw the handprint of whatever it was scrunching up the fabric of his pants leg around his ankles as he was being dragged. That is something profound for me personally. Now, there was a follow-up story. I don't know what happened since, but I only saw one follow-up. They'd called a local priest in to do some sort of rite or ritual. The pastor himself, unfortunately, didn't seem to know what he was doing. I think he was just, you know, calling forth the normal in the name of God and all of that. And the same thing was happening, only this was in broad daylight. The little boy was being dragged. Every time they tried to pray over him, the thing did not want that to happen. And I have sort of reached the conclusion that whatever that is, it is not his friend. He said it was a friend who had drowned or passed away somehow a few years before. I don't think that's his friend. It may be pretending to be, but the level of energy it takes to do the things that were captured on camera, that is not the spirit of a child. That's just my input. I could be wrong. It didn't seem like trickery to me. It's still on YouTube. I'd have to search because I don't remember the title exactly, but every time they tried to pray, every time they tried to get him in one place, this thing was constantly dragging him, tugging at his clothes, throwing things, throwing small things like stones, or it was a sight to behold, especially given that that kind of evidence was captured here in my country. And of course, we sort of just moved on like nothing happened, you know. But that to me was very profound. I don't know whatever happened to that little boy. I hope he's well. I hope his family is well. And on to the next topic. The next creepy creature we have on our list is the rolling calf. I realize Jamaican culture and folklore is spreading more widely these days, so you may or may not have heard of it, but only a few have testified about seeing this creature. A rolling calf, according to legend, is considered to be the spirit of a man, usually a butcher, who was wicked and dishonest during his lifetime. This huge creature, legend claims, has blazing red eyes that gash fire. It drags a chain behind it and chases people in a bid to hurt them. Kenroy Sterling said that he had an encounter with the creature in the community of Bellas Valley, St. Mary. Sterling said that while he did not see the creature, he saw the chains and immediately knew that it was a rolling calf. This is the story according to him. We inna the bush about 12 to 1 o'clock in the day, and we hear the cow a make a noise and come down the road. And we say we are run come up the road because we have to see it. When we reach, we see the chain, a spit bare fire down the road. But all know we not see the cow, Sterling said. Because me never see it, me did have to run go up at the roadside. Me never believe them thing there. But when me see the chain, me believe it for true, he continued. For those who don't understand patois, Jamaican patois specifically, they were in a bush around 12 to 1 o'clock in the daytime, and they heard a cow making noise, so they went down the road, and they said they ran up the road because they need to see it. And when they got there, they saw the chain, a spit bare fire, meaning spitting a lot of fire, down the road, and they still didn't see the cow. And since he didn't see the cow, he had to run up the roadside. And he said he never believed in these things, but when he saw the chain, that's when he believed. Norma Williams, another St. Mary resident, said that her mother told her that she once saw a rolling calf. She said she go pan her ends and come back about 11 o'clock in the night. While she had come up, she see something and stop. When she stop, the something stop. And when she walk off, the something walk off. There was a turn off that she was supposed to turn to come home. But the rolling calf reached the turn before she and turned upon the road, Williams related. Again, for those who don't understand Jamaican patois, she went somewhere to get back around 11 o'clock at night. And while she was on her way home, she saw something and stopped. And she noticed that when she stopped, the thing stopped. Something means something. And when she walked off, the something walked off. And the turn off she was supposed to take home, apparently the so-called rolling calf had reached the turn before her and turned on the road. It was a rolling calf with him long chain behind him. She na bada go pan the turn. She got through the cow pasture and take bush round the road to reach home, William said. So she saw a rolling calf, or what would have been alleged to be a rolling calf, with a long chain behind him, and she didn't bother to go on the turn. She decided to go through the cow pasture, and I guess through a bush, around the road to get home. It is often said that rolling calves tend to come out at night and when the moon is full. For Denise Hunt and Peaches, this was when they saw the spirit roaming the streets of their community in Castleton, St. Mary. Me and my brother them they out in the moonshine. When me look now, me see one white something a come down. My brother see the something and take up stone. And I say a dog and I run it down. But me say to him say, remember where we old man say? When him gone, we are going to see ghosts. So when we look good, no rolling calf just stand up and look up in the moon. Him have one chain round him neck and shake up. And when the moon go over him, him run off, go down the road. And we run come in the house and look through the window upon it with the chain round him neck, Hunt said. So essentially she and her brother were out at night in the moonlight. And when they looked, they saw something white and the brother thought it was a dog and took a stone and was trying to run it down. And the sister was reminding her brother about what their father told them, that when he was gone, they would start to see ghosts. So they took another look and to their amazement, it was a rolling calf looking up at the moon and shaking. And when the moon went over him, he ran off down the road and they ran into the house to look through the window at him or at it. Peaches added, I was inside my house and me look up on the veranda. Me see the white something come down the road and me think a dog. So me a shout out for run the dog and me see it now move. It just look upon the moon, so me get me afraid, and me go in at me house and look out. When the moon pass over it, me see it move, and as so me realize say a rolling calf, and it just walk go down the road with the chain a go ching ching ching, she said. So she went to her veranda, and she saw something white coming down the road, and she thought it was a dog. So she shouted at it to try and run it, to get rid of it. And she saw it wasn't moving. And it was just standing in the moonlight looking upwards at the moon. She got scared and she went into her house to look out. And when the moon was passing over it, she saw it move off. And that's when she realized it was a rolling calf, according to her. And it just walked down the road with the chain behind it. That one gave me some chills. I hope you're enjoying the stories by the fire so far. Next on our list is the Sukuyant or the Old Hag. The Sukuyant or Sukuyant in Dominica, St. Lucia, Trinidad Guadalupean folklore, also known as Lugaru in Haiti, Grenada, and elsewhere in the Caribbean, or Old Hag in Guyana and Jamaica, or Asima in Suriname. In the Bahamas and Barbados, it is known as Hag. It's a kind of blood-sucking hag. It sort of reminds me of the Irish Banshee, except the difference would be that the Banshee doesn't suck blood to my knowledge and is usually a harbinger of death. I don't think our Old Hag is quite the same in terms of being a harbinger of death. So, slight difference, but the Old Hag vibe is there. Mythical Old Hags. The Old Hag is a shape-shifting Caribbean folklore character who appears as a reclusive old woman by day. By night, she strips off her wrinkled skin and puts it in a mortar. In her true form, as a fireball, she flies across the dark sky in search of a victim. The Old Hag, can enter the home of her victim through any size hole like cracks, crevices, and keyholes. The old hag sucks people's blood from their arms, legs, and soft parts while they sleep, leaving blue black marks on the body in the morning. If the sukuyot draws too much blood, it is believed that the victim will either die and become an old hag or perish entirely, leaving her killer to assume her skin. The old hag practices black magic. Old hags trade their victim's blood for evil powers with the demon who resides in the silk cotton tree. B-A-Z-I-L. I prefer not to say the name. To expose the old hag, one should heap rice around the house or at the village crossroads, as the creature will be obliged to gather every grain, grain by grain, a Herculean task to do before dawn, so that she can be caught in the act. To destroy her, coarse salt must be placed in the mortar containing her skin so she perishes, unable to put the skin back on. Belief in the old hag is still preserved to an extent in Guyana, Suriname, and some Caribbean islands, including Dominica, Haiti, and Trinidad. The skin of the old hag is considered valuable and is used when practicing black magic. Many Caribbean islands have plays about the old hag and many other folklore characters. Some of these include Trinidad, Grenada, and Barbados. So it's actually similar to old school vampires, you know, counting knots in rope and the rice grains. Sukuyons belong to a class of spirits called Jumbies. Some believe that Sukuyons were brought to the Caribbean from European countries in the form of French vampire myths. These beliefs intermingled with those of enslaved Africans. In the French West Indies, specifically the island of Guadeloupe, and also in Suriname, the sukuyon is a person able to shed his or her skin to turn into a vampiric fireball. In general, these figures can be anyone, not only old women, although some affirm that only women could become sukuyon, because only female breasts could disguise the creature's wings. The term lugaru, also used to describe the sukuyon, possibly comes from the French word for werewolf, lugaru, often used with each other since they are pronounced the same. In Haiti, what would be considered a werewolf is called gerouge. I really am sorry about my French, which translates to red eyes. As in Haiti, the lugaru is also common in Mauritian culture. In Suriname, this creature is called Asima or Asema. As the legend of the sukuyon has been verbally passed down over the centuries, the story has changed with the pass of time, so that the sukuyon no longer exclusively describes an elderly woman. I definitely wouldn't want to run into one of those.
This has been The Oddcast, and you've been on The Fringe with your interdimensional modern heretic. Thanks for hanging out. Hope to see you again in the next one. Hope you enjoyed listening. And don't let the rolling calf get you on the way out.